Topic we're going to learn about machshava and various applications when the Chazal uses the word machshava, whether machshava means machshava literally, just thought, or does machshava really mean dibur? It's the opposite, no need for a maisa, there's no need for an action, but whenever the word machshava is being used, it really means dibur. And each application has different explanations, but we're going to look at it initially through the prism of being mafrish chuma. So in the middle of the Gemara Kedushin, the second parak, the Gemara already brings a second source for Shlichas. That's the overall context. We saw last week the source for Shlichas based on Vishalach, Vishalcha, when it said in regards to Gerushin, and we use that as a model for Kedushin. So such a Shlichas exists for Kedushin and Gerushin. And then the Gemara goes ahead to bring a Mishnah, this is the bottom of Mem Aleph and Aleph, that when a person appoints a Omer the Shlucho, say Tarm, Vitarm Kedas Bal HaBayis, a person tells a Shliach to go separate Shuma for me. So if he's mafresh chuma in accordance with what I wanted as the Baal Bayis, so then it's good. V'meinio dea das Baal HaBayis. Now if he doesn't know what the Baal Bayis wants, then Torim bebeinonis. He could assume that I want in the middle ground. What's the middle ground? So we know that there are different grades of shirim of chuma, 140th, 150th, 160th, 140th being the Ayin Yafe, 160th being the Ayin Ra, and 150th being in the middle, that's the beinonis. So we could assume I'm somewhere in the middle. Now, just as a side point, there's interesting tosis at the bottom here. Normally, we assume that this shuma of chuma is only a din dirabanan. Midderais, if I have a whole pile of grapes that need chuma, if I take out one grape, one item, that will be that's good chuma. But the Yushalmi is quoting the tosis in the bottom here. It says that really there's a pasuk for this. It seems to be a derais of the shear of 140th, 150th, and 160th. You can look at tosis quoting the Yushalmi there. But again, normally we assume the Babli, the Midaraisa, it's enough to separate just one item, and that's Chuma, and the remaining Tevel is now Mutter to be eaten. So anyway, so you send the Shliach to separate Chuma from him. So then the Mishnah said, this is Gemara according to Mishnah, so Echad Michabishim, Pachos Esar, let's say he takes less Chuma than I really wanted. Oh, Host of Esar, or he adds more Chuma than I wanted, that too, he says, Chumaso Chuma, that works. So we're going to ask, how do you know? How do you know Shlichas works for Truma? Minolan. V'chitem, if you're going to say, the Yalef me Gerushin, because we saw that Gerushin is a source of Shlichas for Gerushin, so then, but you can't learn from Gerushin. Because Ma'ala Gerushin Shekain Yeshin Chol. Gerushin is the world of Chol, and you can't use the world of Chol to teach you something about the world of Truma, which is completely different. They're two different worlds. So that's why the Gemara brings the Pasuk, Amakra Atem. It says gamatem. What's the word gamatem? So to you, lirabo says a shliach, that a shliach works for truma as well. So this is another pasuk that's needed, that shlichas works. So we have one pasuk by gerushin, one pasuk by truma. So then the Gemara says, wait a second. V'nichta rachmana b'truma. So why not simply write that truma, shlichas exist by truma, and nisa hanach v'nigmer minay, and use truma as the model that shlichas works all over the Torah, b'kol Torah kula. So the Gemara answers, which is the important line here, Mishum de'ika lemifrach shekein yeshra b'machshava. Since Shuma works b'machshava, there's a certain leniency that by machshava alone the Shuma could work. So Shlichas also works. It's not such a real act is needed. So we're makel by different hafrashos Shuma. But to say that by Gidin, where Gidin needs a real maisa, you have to do a real nesina to know Shlichas works there. There you need a separate pasuk. You can't learn it from Shuma. So, yeah.
How do we know that if he's not really doing the shliach when he takes off more or less, he's not really doing exactly what the shliach said he should do? So how do we know that that's chal? How do we know that?
The case where he never said anything. He said stam. He didn't tell him what he wanted. So he didn't say what he wanted. So there's some room to work with. So now the Rashi says on the top of Mem Alpha and Beis, three lines out, but machshava no sein eina betzadzeh. You look at one part. Then you eat the other half of the item, the bread or whatever it is that you're taking chuma from. So machshava alone works for afrashas chuma. So this is what the Gemara says, and this is how Rashi interprets it. Now I'm going to raise a question here that the Achorim ask, and hopefully at the end we'll come back to answer this. But they say, once it's true that at me as the Baal HaBayis, I could look at my item and b'machshava separate the chuma, so then why do I need shlichas? Why do I need a form of shlichas? if I'm over here and the guy is separating over there, I don't need to do shlichas. My machshava works. I could be here and the food could be somewhere else. Yeah. Who needs shlichas here? So this is a question that the Achronim ask. We'll get to hopefully at the end. The Sefer Maknen and the Nesivos Mishpat ask the question. So I think learning Rashi well. I'm waiting for Pini to answer this, but I know he learns the Rashi well. But learning Rashi well, I think, could answer the question also. And Shita's Rambam at the end will also answer the question as to why you might need shlichas, even though machshava works as well. So let's leave that aside now. Yeah. Einav. So I think that's the Deacon Rashi exactly. Rashi says, well, since you answered the question now, he says, no sin Einav. It seems from Rashi it's not machshav alone, but it's actually some ri'ah. You're seeing, you're looking at, you are. What?
Actually be there and see.
That's what it sounds like, exactly. So if I'm not going to be there, so I need to appoint a shliach to be there for me. Not that it's on the other room, I have machshava. You need some ri'iyah. Now, that we have a concept in the beginning of Bamatsia that ri'iyah and habata work. Meaning, let's say I'm walking, I see a mitzia there, something that's hefker. So if I simply see it, according to the Gemara, it's not so, I'm just oversimplifying, my Re'iyah alone has certain kinyan rights to something that's in Hefker. So you see, Re'iyah has a certain ability to be Kona, to create things, to transition things. So that might be what Rashi means, Nosin Einav. And Rashi says it's all over Shas. I think it's even in the Gemara itself might even use this language of Nosin Einav B'tzadzeh. But it's not enough. You need a shliach. If I'm not going to be there, it's not only my machshava. It's a machshava that's accompanied by a ri'ah that I'm actually trying to create this hafrasha without it happening, but I need to see it and visualize it in front of me. That might be the Deacon Rashi. So we're going to come back to this at the end using Rambam Shita to answer this question as well. Okay. So we see from Rashi right now, we're going to now enter the world of machshava. Rashi says machshava alone is enough to create a hafrasha on Shuma. Now this is in contrast to the Rashi you guys saw in Maseches Bechoros. This Gemara of Nechshav, that Machshava works for Truma, appears many places in Shas. So one of the places is in Maseches Bechoros and Daf Nun Tes, the last couple blot of Maseches Bechoros. So Rashi there writes, as you saw, number one, Shemechashev V'Omer, that you thought about it and you said it as well. You said it. It wasn't enough to think about it. You had to have articulated it that you wanted to separate this chuma.
You're leaving out the re'iyah now.
Exactly, leaving out the re'iyah now.
Why is Omer in brackets?
Not sure why. But it's clear from the rest of the statement that that's Rashi is referring to Amira. You look at Tosos, he clearly had that girsa as well. So it must have been a girsa that didn't have it, so they put it back in. But clear from Tosos that there are two opinions in Rashi whether machshava is sufficient or you need machshava with the Amira as well. So Tosa goes on to bring a number of rides, but let's just talk about a saying, a statement. You need to articulate it. So what's his machlok is whether or not you need an amira, or the machshava alone is sufficient. Any thoughts on this?
Well, once you speak it, it becomes, there's a chance of Edim being there, and then there's a whole...
Yeah, but it's not about chance of Aiden being there. There's no, other than the Rashi we'll see later on in Baba Kama, with the different context, there's no need for a Aiden to be there. The Amira alone is enough. But what the Machlok is whether or not you require Amira or not. The Gemara says, V'nechshav, V'machshav is enough.
I forget who says it. Maybe it's supposed to say there has to be some sort of maisa. But if it's machshava alone, it's not enough. So there has to be some sort of action accompanying that, which is saying something.
Okay, so it could be, that could be the inyan, that you need some type of maisa. So the question is, why do you need a maisa? Why is a machshava enough? So I think this might be telling in a different machlokas in understanding the hafrashas truma in general. Of how much a maisa do you need? So when it comes to Hafrashas Truma, there are two ways to look at it. There's a Chakira, it's based on the Gemara Nida, the Rav Yosef Engel, and others talk about. When I have Tevel, so I go to, I'm a farmer, I now, at the end of the season, I collect all my fruit. All that fruit, now, let me just backtrack for a second, Midiraisa, get the basics. Midiraisa, that according to Moshe Shonim, the only Chiv Deraisa of Truma is on Degancha Tirosh Chavitzarcha, which is the five grains, grapes, and olives. Midiraisa, that is Chayv and Truma. And then regarding Shar Peros, is Machlokas Rishonim between Rashi and the Rambam, whether Shar Peros is Achiv Midraisa or that's only Achiv Midrabanam. But either way, before I've done the Hafrasha, all that fruit...
In Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael?
It's only in Eretz Yisrael when it comes to Truma and Meiser. So now when it comes to me having my fruit, It's called tevel. To also for me, it's tevel until I've done hafrasha shuma. So if I separate shuma, so now this is shuma, and the remaining fruit is mutter, tchulin, I can eat it. The shuma goes to the kohen, and the rest can be eaten by me. So the question the Rishonim, really, Achronim, based on Rishonim, ask is, when I separate the shuma, am I creating shuma? Or, as the Gemara Nida says, the chuma is me'uraba. When I have my all my fruit, I gather all my grapes together, there's actually chuma somewhere there. That's why it's aser to eat. That's why it's called teva. I need to just expose and reveal where that chuma is. I decide where the chuma is. But I'm not creating chuma. I'm just pointing out where the chuma is. It's some type of brera. The chuma is there. And I could decide which one's going to be chuma. But I didn't create the chuma. The chuma is there. I'm just exposing the chuma. So the question is, how much, when I'm mafresh chuma, how much of a creation is it? So according to what Josh is saying, the more of a creation is, the more maisa you need. As opposed to exposing it, you don't need so much of a maisa, you're just exposing it. You didn't create anything. And therefore, if you say, so that's the case. So what's your problem with this?
Because why are you creating truma over there? What? It could be somewhere else too.
No. The Gemara in Nida says that the reason why tevel is asa because there's chuma that's me'urav. There's chuma that's there. Now, I could decide which one's going to be the chuma, but chuma exists. You could say that every chuma is potentially on each item. It's there. It's hovering around, and I just decide that's the one that's going to keep it. As opposed to, there's no chuma at all. It's just asa b'tevel. It's an iser until I've taken chuma. When I said that's chuma, I've created chuma. Chuma did not exist. But for my creation, this is a chakir that's in the Achronim.
And it's an easier question to understand in the case of the animals later. Do I mamish need to have them go through the door, or is it enough just to have it over there?
No, Maisa Behema, that's what you're referring to. That's a whole different situation, Maisa Behema.
Isn't that what we're going to talk about next?
No, Maisa Behema, no. We're not going to get to Maisa Behema.
Didn't we go into the Bechoro, into the thing where the animal goes through the gate?
Yeah, that's the total. Yeah, we're not going to go into that, no. So
that wasn't on the sources?
We're not going to go into that. Okay, so says the
If I could just give one stalk of chuma and then I fulfill my obligation, then at that point, getting 140, 150, 160, is I'm determining something that wasn't there before.
That is correct. So you, if you
extraction,
that's correct. So you would explain it as saying that each item, each grape, let's say, or each wheat has the potential for chuma. That the chuma that's hovering around there, it's all there. And now when I decide which ones are going to be chuma, so that one, it just now becomes more exposed, and the other ones lose that shame chuma. You have to explain something along those lines. So now if you say this chakira, so if you look in Asman Daraisa, Rav Yosef Engel talks about this chakira, I think. So then the more you're creating chuma, so then the more of a maisa you would need. The more maisa you need, then the more likely you would say a machshava alone wouldn't be sufficient. You would have to articulate it, and you have to have a dibor. It would be that dibor, that speech, which would be sufficient for creating that chuma. But if you say that the chuma is always there, I'm just exposing where the chuma is, I don't really need much, then perhaps you could suggest that it's not the dibor that's needed, it's enough to just have a machshava. That machshava would be sufficient. And that would be, I think, a simple way to understand this machlokus, these 2 days in Rashi, whether dibor would be needed or not.
It's not a good analogy, the animal thing. It's so clear with the animal thing. It's the same thing, no? Whether you have to do a maisa, go through a door, or it's enough just to leave it alone. Isn't that the same question?
No, the case of maisa behemer is that you have to have it pass through the door. And
that's a maisa as opposed to machshava.
Correct.
So isn't that the same question you're asking now?
No, we're talking about machshava, not necessarily a maisa. We're talking about machshava is enough. When it comes to maisa behemer, there's a maisa that goes through. It goes through the door. But let's leave maisa behemer out for now.
Yeah, just say the chakira, not...
Okay, so let's just go well, after we'll discuss it. I'm saying it's before Shin, this is the Achronim. Look at Rav Yosef Engel, Asma
Daraisa. The same as Chala? Is that the same?
They say the same thing with Chala also, yeah. So whenever there's Isser Tevel, the question is the Chuma, the Chala Shabo, it's Me'ur of there, I have to expose it? Or no, the Tevel means it's Asa for me to eat. There's no Chuma. When I'm offering it, now I'm creating the Chuma.
Something for both sides.
Yeah. Okay. Now, this makes a lot of sense. The need for Amira, because we have a concept that the Gemara says in Bab Metzia and Kedushin and Bab Masa and elsewhere, that when it comes to being Makdish something, so now if we're viewing Chuma as being Makdish the Chuma, as opposed to exposing it, we have the Klal of Amirasala Gavoa Kimisirasala Hediodami, which means what? Amirasala Gavoa, by me saying something to Gavoa to Hektish, I'm Makdish something to Hektish, I'm saying this is Hektish, this table is Hektish, the Gemara tells us Amirasala Gavoa is Kimisiraso Lehedio. It's the same parallel as when I hand something to you, a maisa in the world of hedyot, of a kinyan, I hand you an object, it becomes yours. So in the world of Hekdesh now, my Amira, my statement, is the equivalent of a Mesira in the world of Hedya. So now we understand why these Rishonim would require an Amira. Because again, if we're saying Chuma is you're creating Chuma, you're handing the Chuma over to Hekdesh. Now this world, it's the world of the Kohen Hekdesh. If you're handing it over to Hekdesh, you need an Amira. Machshava doesn't work for Hekdesh. You require an Amira for Hekdesh. I have to say that this table is Hekdesh. So just like in the world of Hekdesh, you need an Amira, so too in the world of Chuma, you need an Amira. Amiraso legavoa, kimisiraso lehediot dami. But if you assume again that you're not creating Chuma, the Chuma is just there, you're just exposing it, you're not creating Hekdesh, you're not creating Chuma, so then there's no need for an Amira, the Machshava would be sufficient. Okay, so now this discussion of Machshava requiring a deeper or not, it really becomes a global discussion in many areas of Shas. So I brought down a bunch of these applications, so let's go through them. Go number three. Tosas and Bechoros quotes the Mishnah in Bava Metzia, number three. Talking about Shlichas Yad. The lacha is that if I'm watching an object, so I have to keep whatever standards I am, if a Shomer Chinam, a Shomer Sachar, whatever level Shmira I'm keeping. Now, if I, let's say, use this object, which I'm not supposed to use, so then I'm responsible for anything that happens. Like normally, a Shomer Chinam is only chayv in pshia. If he's negligent, he leaves open the door and the animal leaves, he lets the robbers come in, so then he's responsible, if he's poshea. But let's say he was doing the proper shmir for his level, and in the middle of the night, some ganavim came in and stole it, so then the Shomer Chinam is pater. He's pater from Gneva and Aveda. But let's say the Shomer Chinam uses the animal, which he wasn't supposed to. And then after using the animal, after doing Shlichas Yad, which is extending his hand, using the animal, then there's Gneva and Aveda. So then the halacha is based on the pasuk, the Shomer Chinam is Chayiv, even in Gneva and Aveda. So the mission in Bava Metzia number three says, HaChoshev L'Shloach Yad B'Pikadon, a person who had a thought to use a Pikadon, Beishamai Omer M'Chayiv, and Beishol Omer Eino Chayiv Ad Shishlach B'Yad. Beishamai thinks it's enough to have a Machshava, just to think that you wanted to use that object without using it, just thinking about it, nice. That's enough to be chayiv shlichas yad. Beis Hillel requires there to be a maisa. So when we say machshava for Beis Shammai, what does that mean, a machshava? How do we define machshava in this context? So it says Rashi. Rashi is a big chiddush. Rashi says, Amar b'fnei edim. You say it. You don't think about it. Not only do you say it, but you say it in front of Edom, what you're referring to before. You say it in front of Edom that you want to use this object. Now, you don't actually use it. This is the Chiddush of Beis Shammai, and it's based on Pesukim. All right, I didn't quote the Gemara here. The Gemara quotes Pesukim, how Beis Shammai knows that Machshava enough. But we see from here, when the Gemara uses Machshava, is that being defined as an Amira or not? The Torah of Rashi says that it means an Amira. So Rashi's Lishitaso, what he writes in Becharos, that you need an Amira when the word Machshava is used. Tosa says the same thing. Toso says, number five, Hach machshava havi dibor. When the word machshava is used, it means speech. You need to say something. And then Toso says, we have the same concept by pigel. What's pigel? If you're a Kohen and you think about a bad thought of you want to eat this carbon outside the zman that you're supposed to. Like, for example, carbon shlamim. Shlamim's eaten for how many days? Right, 2.5, right? It's really 2 days, right? 2 days and one night. So you have it day one, let's say Monday you eat it, and then Monday night you can eat it, then Tuesday you can eat it, Tuesday night you can't eat it. Anything left over you burn the next morning, Wednesday morning. So that's for 2 days, Monday and Tuesday, and Monday night's included, but Tuesday night is not included. So let's say you as the Kohen, you are doing the Avoda, and you have in mind that this Shlomim should be eaten even on Wednesday. That's Pigul Bizman, that's Isser Karis, Chiv Karis. So he has that thought. So that Machshava alone, is that enough to make this Pigul? So it says Tosfos, no, the machshava isn't enough. You need dibur tal. You have to articulate it. So this is part of an overall discussion. Now we're leaving the world of truma. Before I explain truma, the machlokas of dibur or not, depending on how you understand truma, being creating truma, you need dibur, or just exposing truma, machshava is enough. Now Tosfos is taking this more global. Every area of machshava. So how powerful is machshava? That's the question. How powerful is machshava? So we discussed with some of you in Seder that there's a Gemara in Yuma. I didn't get it in front of me. But the Gemara in Yuma says that Hirhur Aveira is Kasher Me Aveira itself. We have certain areas where we find that Hirhur, Machshava, is more powerful it's worse sometimes or stronger sometimes than actual Maisa. That's the Gemara says, Hirhur Avera is worse than actual the Maisa Avera. So we see that's how powerful Hirhurimir, that's how powerful Machshav is. So maybe if you understand Machshav is so powerful, you don't need a Dibur. Others might say, no, but Machshav still is an abstract world. No, there's nothing concrete to it.
What were those examples?
They were examples of?
Of mitzvahs or Averas that Machshav are more powerful.
So it's a general statement. Here, let me get the Gemara and Yuma out. Here, it's a powerful Gemara.
Negative?
No. It's just your horror is called lighter time. Lighter? Okay, so the Gemara says this is a third parak, I think it's a third parak of Maseches Yuma. Here we go. So in the bottom of Chav Chesamid Beis. Yes, Machshava. So listen to the Gemara says. This top of Chav Tesam and Aleph, actually. The top line of Chav Tesam and Aleph. Hirhure Avera, Kashu Me Avera. Thoughts in Avera are worse than the actual Avera. Rashi just explains. Taivas Nashim, Kashim, Lahachish is Bisar. It's stronger to weaken one's body. Yosem Migufo Shemaisa, more than the Maisa. And this
again,
is. It's stronger. What does that mean, stronger? So I think the way Achron explained is a person is having hirhurim all the time, so then it never ends. The hirhurim are constantly there. The person doesn't act, so after he does a maisa, then he feels guilty, and then it's over. So that's the idea, but you see how powerful machshav is. Machshav, according to Gemara, is the hirhurim are worse than the actual maisa. So if you take that to the extreme, machshav is so powerful, so you don't need dibur. The machshav alone is enough. But if you assume that, no, machshava is still, it's in an abstract world, it's just some thoughts that come and go, fleeting thoughts, so then maybe machshava alone wouldn't be sufficient. It's not until you articulate it and bring it into this world that it really take effect. Okay, so Penny had a question.
Is it possible that there are different types of machshava?
For sure.
Asay, velos asay.
There's a machshava that pops into your head, and then there's a voluntary, you know, act where you're purposely having thoughts, kavanas, to think about something in avera. You know, or you want to separate mice or whatever, where you make a clear choice in your head. There's millions of thoughts that go into the person.
I think for sure, 100%. Exactly. If thoughts will come in, certain things you can't control. Certain things you can control. Right. So if it's intent, so then it's more of it's precise to what you want to do. So you want to focus that machshava, that's more powerful than a fleeting thought that passes through your mind, 100%. Now, which gets into another, which we get to another discussion, just because it got me to think of this, is that... I think we're discussing in the morning, the two of you, Morty and Dave, that how could a person control his machshavos? How could you control your hirurim? Certain thoughts come into your mind. So they quoted a famous Ibn Ezra on Los Achmod. We're going to get to Los Achmod at the end here. Los Achmod, the last of the Aseret Hadibros, which is, of course, you cannot covet, you cannot want someone else's house or car, other people's properties you can't want. Now, how could you control that? I see a beautiful car, I see a beautiful house, I want that. How could you tell me I can't control that? That's just how I am. I'm a human being. Certain thoughts come into my mind. How do you control that? So Ibn Ezra says, this famous marshal, that if you saw the princess walking in the street, so you're not going to, you might want to marry her, but it's not a real machshava that's going to, you really consider, because it's not shaykh to you. You're a regular guy in the street, and she's a princess. She's from a royal family. It's not shaykh to you. So if you now could convince yourself everything in this world, which wasn't given to you, it's not yours, it's not shaykh for you. That car, the house isn't shaykh for me, so I need to now realize that wasn't given to me, and that's how one controls machshava, realizing only what you were given was for you. That which you weren't given is not meant to be for you, it's like the princess, and therefore that's one way to control your machshavas, which means that there are different types of machshavas. Certain machshavas you can control easier, certain things you can't. But when you try to focus your machshava on something to create a hafrasha, so that might be enough even without a dibur. So that's part of the discussion. Okay.
And yeah. Wouldn't it be a difference between ase and los ase?
You could also make such a chiluk by that as well. Machshava, it's possible. Yechaim Dov.
We're trying to use that Gemara as a possible raya, or just an inquiry to see how strong machshava is. But that Gemara is showing how strong machshava is, how it affects you. But not to affect something else, to create a shame on something.
It's a very, very good point. Very good point.
Rabbi?
Yeah, I agree. So,
good point. That
what?
Pigo, which the Rambam says, Machshav alone will be enough, and you could affect something in a double that's not really yours.
But we said Tosa required a Dibor for Pigo. I mean, he's just saying that Gemara is a Raya. It's not necessarily a Raya. Echnami certain Rishonim could say machshava is enough, but he said that can't be right. That's how it affects me, not how it affects an object. We're trying to figure out ways that the machshava affects an object. So other raya's, but that's not. I think it's a great point. That might not be as a raya. Yeah, Rab.
Just a simple. It would be very confusing to say that the thought is even stronger than the action. If I say a bracha for myself over a food or something, I can't just think about the bracha. I have to verbally say it to make it an action that.
No, for sure. No, for sure. There are many things that you can't get married with machshava. You can't eat with machshava. Certainly, you need actions for many things. But right, our question is in certain areas where machshava is sufficient. When machshava is sufficient, then is it really machshava sufficient, or do you need the dibur as well? That's the question. But you're right. The machshava can never replace when there's a need for a maaser. There's a need for an action.
But we're just talking about the places where it can.
Exactly. Wherever machshava, that Chazal tells machshava does work, so how do you define that machshava? Is it a machshava? Or is it a machshava that really means a dibur? Let's go now to the Minchas Chinuch, a very just quick line here. This is number 9, it's really the top of page number 3. The Minchas Chinuch said this same discussion about machshava requiring dibur or not, he says is the same machlokas by kavana.
Sounds like it's a say and lo sa say would be the chilek, would be the differentiation.
No, but you can make a chilek.
Positive things, right. You know, you so, can't get it done, but for negative things, it's a bad thing to think about, and that's right. The problem.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Could we have machshava avera is not machshava. A person thinks to do an avera, the Gemara tradition says, it's not considered an avera.
What was that? Gemara you just opened up about?
It's a different one, but that's the point that Chaim Dov said, that machshava, hihur avera, affects a person, but doesn't affect an object, doesn't do an aveira. It's bad for the person's mind. So we say, but a person, even though it's bad for the person, it weakens him, the Gemara said, doesn't mean he gets credited with an aveira of doing the action.
It was worse than the action, so he's getting some kind of credit.
David, it's not like, you can't put, let's say you have a hero avero about a woman or something like that.
That was the example,
right? Exactly, but that woman's not getting that avera. You're the one that's getting the avera inside of yourself.
Right, but you just told me it's worse than the maisa. But now you're telling me it's not really anything unless there's a maisa.
Right, no, it affects a person, it weakens a person, it's killing the person. The guy can't function with the hirurim, but to say that machshava translate into a maisa does not translate into a maisa, though.
I know that, so that's why I didn't understand the point of that Gemara.
Okay. Fine. So the Minchas Chinuch writes on the top of page number 3 that the same discussion applies when it referring to mitzvos, tzichos, kavana. We know there's a machlokas in general whether mitzvos, tzichos, kavana or not. We say when it comes to deraisas, mitzvos, tzichos, kavana. So says the Minchas Chinuch, the same discussion should apply. When I'm about to perform a mitzvah, should I articulate it that I'm doing this for the same mitzvah? Or no, it's enough that I have that machshava alone. I think the Mishabur writes when it comes to Kiddush and you're being motzi other people, you're supposed to articulate, ideally say to people, I'm being motzi everyone here, I'm having l'shem, the mitzvah of Kiddush. That's ideal, but the Minchas Chinuch said, that's the machlokas. If you assume in general, machshav is enough, so just think about it. But if you think you have to have a dibur, so then you should articulate that you're about to perform a mitzvah, l'shem mitzvahs, Kiddush, whatever it is. Now, the Rush writes in the same lines when it comes to the world of l'shma. When you're doing something lishma, number 10, he quotes Rabbeinu Baruch, Nistapek im tzarech lahotzi besvasav shu mi'avdo l'shem sefer Torah. When you're processing the klaf and making a sefer Torah, you have to do an ibud. You have to process it in a certain way of dealing with the leather. There has to be l'shem sefer Torah. I can't just buy some klaf that wasn't lishma. It cannot be used for sefer Torah. From the beginning of process, making this hide into a klaf has to be l'shem sefer Torah or l'shem tefillin. So he wants to know, do you have to hotzi b'sfasav? Do I need to articulate this? Oh, sagi b'machshava, or it's enough to have a machshava. Same exact machlok as we keep seeing. This is just another example of does l'shma require a dibor, or is machshava enough? So the Radbaz says something interesting. Radbaz says, what's this machlok? It's similar to what we said earlier. Radbaz writes that, number 11 in the bold, ein hakdusha chala b'machshava levad, El b'dibor she'dibor ose roshem gadol. So this way he's saying.
Maybe perhaps a machshava would be enough, but just to keep that focus, since the mind can be fleeting inherently.
So I don't think I'm not sure if that's the point. I don't think that's what he's saying. I think he's saying that to create an effect on this object, you need to have a dibor.
Yeah.
To make a roshim on the object, you need to have a dibur. Like we said before, when I'm being makdish an object, this table is going to be hektish. I need to have an amira. I need to have a miraso legavoa. A statement to gavoa is kimisiraso lehedyodami, as if I pass it over to an individual. That's how powerful an amira is. So Rabbi says, whenever there's a chalos of kedusha, I'm creating kedusha, I need to articulate this. So he says, when it comes to the world of lishma, if I want lishma, this sefer Torah to be lishma, I need to say it for it to be chal on this object. You need to create it, to put it in this world. That's the need for the dibur.
He would say by the Shem Hashem for the sofer when he's writing Shem Hashem, he would have to say out loud every time whatever kavanos he's having.
Right. So what the Shulchan Aruch writes in by Hilchos Tzitzis, he says if you say it for the very first time, then that everything you're doing is based on that the machshava rishona. So since you said it once, that's fine.
Would that work for Shem Hashem also, or each Shem is another name?
I think he says. I'm trying to remember. I think he says that it goes.
Hide, it says that, and
I don't remember by Sefer Torah. I think what the Sofrim do is they say it each time, anyways. But it's possible the Poskim allow you. But I think the Poskim say once the first time you started the Sefer Torah, you said this is the Shem Mitzvah Sefer Torah. That's enough. But I think they're machmer to say it each time they say the Shem Hashem. I don't know exactly, but we see from the Arba'ah the reason why you need to do a dibur. So before we're discussing because how powerful is machshava or not. Is Machshava enough powerful, or it's not enough until it comes into this world? What he says here is, whenever you're creating Kedusha, meaning in general, Machshava might be enough, whatever you're talking about. Machshava might be sufficient. But when it comes to the world of Kedusha, when it comes to creating Kedusha, a Lishma, when it comes to creating Truma, you need to actually say it because your Dibur creates a greater Roshim, a greater mark on this object. That's what the Radbaz says. Yishaf as well. So then he asks the question, so then, yeah.
What happens, just an aside, what happens if you do Hekdesh on a table and it gets mixed in with all these other tables? How do you pick which one is the...
That's another discussion about mixing things together. But we're talking about creating Kedusha right now. So ask the Radbaz now. So if that's the case, if you really only need a Dibor to create Lishma, Davar Shebe Kedusha, so how come for a Get, when it comes to creating Lishma on a Get, which is not a Davar Shebe Kedusha, so why is there a need for an amira to say Allah that you're writing this get lishma? That's his question. So the answer to the Radbaz in number 11, he says, Sof kedusha yesh beget lefisha nikra sefer. There's a big chiddush. We're not going to get involved in get so much, but it's an interesting idea to think of. That even a get is called a davar shebe kedusha. It's called the sefer krisos. The pasuk called sefer krisos, and it has many dinim of safras. You need a sofer needs to write a get. It's not pasha. It also was a davar shebe kedusha.
Coming and going is equal. No?
Now, even though it ends the relationship, but it still was a davar shebe kedusha. You create a relationship, and now you're ending that relationship. It still is considered in that world of kedusha and requires lishma b'amir like anything else. Yeah, like a mezuzah, like a sefer, like anything else, any in Yoni Stam.
Isn't there that thing coming and going makes it?
Yeah, v'yatzav ha'isa. Could be that v'yatzav ha'isa. You're creating kedusha, and you're ending the kedusha.
Going in, going out.
And he says the same idea. Sota when it comes to sota, when you're writing a sota, which also doesn't seem like a very kadosh thing, but when you require writing a sota, it has to be lishma. When you write the document for the sota to put in the water, you have to have lishma for this particular woman and this husband. So how come you need to say it? How come you need to articulate it? Because this too is also davar shebe kedusha. You're ending a relationship, or perhaps you're creating a relationship. If she's innocent, so now you're creating a new child. She's going to become pregnant. So this is the world of kedusha. So whatever comes to the world of kedusha, says the Radbaz, you require an amira, which implies any other area, which is not davar shebe kedusha, it's possible machshava is enough. So meaning what? We start by saying that this discussion of machshava being requiring dibur or not is a general discussion. Whatever you hold machshava by pigul, by shlichas yad, by chuma would be the same. Do you require dibur across the board or don't you require dibur across the board? That's what we initially said. Now Radba says there's a chiluk, different context. If it's a davar shebe kedusha, such as kedushin, such as get, such as hektesh and chuma and sota, that requires dibur. If you have another example of shlichas yad, which is not davar shebe kedusha, so Rabbaz would seemingly say that you don't require a dibur. A machshava, according to Beis Shammai, would be sufficient, seemingly, to create a shlichas yad.
And the rabbi's usual question is whether it's on the object or whether it's on the person, the gavro, however you say this, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be another issue, because when it comes to marriage, it's affecting you, and when it comes to food, it's affecting maybe more the food.
That is something else. We haven't seen that chiluk. It's something interesting to, based on what Chaim Dov said, say to address the question, does it depend on the cheftza or the gavra? Clearly Radbaz's focus is on the cheftza of creating some type of roshim, some type of mark on the object. If it's a machshava that affects the person, so then maybe he wouldn't require a mirror. It's a good point. I have to think of examples as they come through. We'll see if it. I'm not sure we came across any of these yet about an amira.
Right, so anything you're doing it involves creating kedusha, something on that high level. Even if you were, it would seem strange if you were making a chumash.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you have to before the person was printing it some way? Because all the
That the only time you need that is when there's a need for lishma. A chumash doesn't need to be printed lishma. There's no mitzvah of printing a chumash. Writing a sefer Torah. That requires lishma, so then that lishma would require a dibur according to this Radbaz. Okay. Now, there is an interesting Nod B'Yehuda. I'm not going to go through here. Those are one. This is the famous Nod B'Yehuda about L'Shem Yichud. He was very against saying L'Shem Yichud here. He explained there's no need. L'Shem Yichud means I'm doing a mitzvah l'kavana. So all I need machshav is enough. Who says I need to articulate and say this whole statement? And he says, perhaps saying the shame Yudke Vavke, that might be saying Hashem's name in vain, which you're not supposed to do.
Yeah.
That's an interesting discussion about L'Shem Yichud being the Machshava or B'dibur. Let's jump a little bit later on now to Shitas Rambam in the top of page number 5. We're going to bring it back now to the world of Truma and Shlichus. Rambam number 19, he's talking about being using Machshava for being Mafrish Truma, and he has an interesting line here. Says the Rambam number, this is number 19, Hilchos Shumos, Perek Dal, Halacha Tezayin. HaMiskavein Lomer Chuma Vamer Meiser, Meiser Vamer Chuma Lo Amar Klum. The guy wants to say Chuma but accidentally says Meiser, or vice versa, it doesn't work. Ad Sheyehe Piv Velibo Shavim. You have to say what you want. You have in mind Chuma, you say Chuma, it works. You have in mind Meiser, you say Meiser, it works.
The absence of the Lashon also on the Gemara Kedushin, where he said, Lo Amar Klum.
For which case?
Okay. Something like that as well.
Okay, could be. So then the Rambam says, "Have hifrish chuma b'machshavaso v'lahotzi b'svasov klum harezu chuma." So what do you mean hifrish chuma b'machshavaso? What does that mean? You separated chuma in your mind and you didn't articulate it. So you see clearly, Rambam says machshava is enough, and you don't need to use a dibur. Now, the Minchas Chinuch and the Shaar Melech have this great chiddush in the Rambam, which I personally don't get why they're creating this tremendous chiddush. But they're Minchas Chinuch and the Shaar Melech, and I'm me. But the Minchas Chinuch writes in number 20, Nira, this is the bold, Nira midvarav dibainan hafrasha al kopanim ubehifrish ein tzarech dibur. You need to do a maisa frasha according to Rambam, avav machshava lechud below frasha lo mahani. What is the Rambam? Why does the Rambam say hifrish chuma? The Rambam should just say you're machshiv chuma. The lashon hifrish sounds like there's a maisa. So what the Minchas Chinuch is mechadish is that Rambam holds if I separate chuma without saying it, that works. What do you mean machshava? I'm supposed to, the ideal way is saying this hareze chuma. That's the ideal. If I just do that and think about it, that's enough for the Rambam. The machshava is enough. But not that you can't replace the Maisa. The Maisa is so needed. You need the Maisa. The question is, does that Maisa need to be accompanied by a Dibor or not a Dibor? But you definitely need the Maisa. Up until now, we've been assuming there's no need for Maisa. I can just look at this thing and just think about it. It's enough.
Or say it.
And
or also say
But you definitely don't need a Maisa up until now.
So now you're saying, what if you have a Maisa?
Now the Rambam says you definitely need a Maisa. Yeah. The question is, does that Maisa need to have a Dibor or not? And it doesn't need a Dibor. The Gemara says, v'nechshav, it's enough to think that that's chuma, but not.
So maybe you have two choices. You could have a machshava and an amira.
Right.
That's choice A. And then
right.
B, when you don't have an amira, with just machshava, you need an act.
Right.
From the Rambam, it doesn't sound like there's choices here. At least the way Minchas Chinuch says. Minchas Chinuch says a machshava enough isn't good.
Yeah.
Machshava l'chud.
Yeah, machshava l'chud meaning you didn't have any amira with the machshava.
Right.
Doesn't sound like that though from the way they're understanding the Rambam here. He says midrar d'ba'inan hafrasha al kapan. You require a hafrasha. Again, you have to go through the long Shaar Melech. There's a whole long discussion, but the way it's understood, if I remember correctly, is that you need a Maisa Frasha for the Rambam, which is a tremendous, tremendous Chiddush. Now, if this is really true, so then we understand that the Rambam must hold that Chuma is creating Chuma. You're not exposing Chuma. Right? If it's about exposing Chuma, the more that the Chuma, we say the Chuma exists when there's Tevel, it's there, I just need to expose it, so the less of a Maisa you need. Once you take it to the extreme, which is against all the Rishonim, that you need a Maisa, for sure you need a Maisa, because you're creating Chuma, the Rama must assume that it's about creating Chuma, not about exposing Chuma.
But doesn't Shlichus work?
So we're going to get to shlichus in just a second.
But if shlichus work, then it's not an action because
no. When I point the shliach does the ma'isa for me. The shliach is doing my act. Now the reason why I have a difficult reading with this Rambam is because look at the Rambam again. Hifrish chuma b'machshavaso.
This is machshava.
I'm thinking I do a separation in my machshava. Doesn't that sound like what Rashi says? No sin ain't but tzadzeh velchum tzadzeh. I do a afresh with my eyes. That's what the Rambam says. Hifrish chuma b'machshavaso. So that seems to be the very simple reading according to me.
But
no, hafrasha also means you did a maisa hafrasha. And what machshava means is I didn't say that hareza truma. I thought hareza truma. But you did an actual maisa hafrasha. Which is, again, to me, not the simple reading of the Rambam, especially in light of seeing the Shita's Rashi.
What does
Machshava
do with the
Shita's Rashi? Rashi says that.
Right.
Yeah, he agrees Rashi holds that way. But they're bothered by the word Hifrish Shuma. Why are you doing a Hifrish sound like there's a real Maisa Hafrasha? It doesn't have to be that case. There could be a Hafrasha in your mind. You visualize the Hafrasha. You visualize that happening.
No, they're creating a Machlokes.
Yeah, exactly. So it's again a decent sized Sharmach who quotes all these different Shitas, but that's how they understand the Rambam. I didn't do all this research if there are other readings of the Rambam, but that's my simple reading. But again, assuming they're now correct, so there's now a third Shita. How do you do Chuma b'machshava? Is it just machshava, think about it? Is it machshava accompanied by an amira? Or is it no, a real ma'isa frasha without an amira? Those are the three shitas we have in understanding chuma b'machshava. Now we can come back to what we started with about what's the need for shlichus, for chuma. If we say that I, as the mishalech, I'm the baal bayis, I could just think about chuma, so why do I need a shliach? So if you understand like the shitas Rambam here, then it makes sense. Because machshava chuma means I need to do a maisa. So then, of course, I need it for any other maisa, for giving a get, for giving a kedushin, I need a shlichus. So here too as well, I need shlichus to do the maisa hafrasha for me. So then for the Rambam, this all makes sense. But if you assume that machshava is enough, that I could just think about chuma, so then what's the need for shlichus here? So we said earlier, Yumi said, that no, because you have to visually, you have to see the chuma in front of you to create it. If I'm here, my chuma's over there, my tevel's over there, so then he can't, my machshava doesn't work unless I'm visualizing what's going on, unless I'm visualizing the object. So that's why I need a shliach to go to that, my tevel, and visualize that hafrasha.
What if I say it? In other words, I'm on the boat, and I say that chuma, whatever should be, chal on something else.
Right, so if you don't hold a rashi, that's not about visualizing it, it's about saying it. So that's also, if I say it, also,
the
same question, yeah, why you need shliach in that case, in Echanami? So all these cases, whether it's machshava or whether it's about, for Rashi, I could see why you need it though, because Rashi, you need to visualize it.
Yeah.
But if you hold a general machshava or a general mirror would be enough, so what do you need shlichas for? So what the Sefer HaMakna answers is, this is number 22, I forgot to bold the key lines here, but he says, you're right, you don't need shlichas. The only instance you need shlichas is if the shliach doesn't do the right point. He didn't do what I asked him to do. So, meaning what? In general, if I do a machshava as a mishaleach, my machshava is enough. And all the shliach is doing is he just actually separates it. But I'm the one who created what the chuma is going to be. He just does the ma'isa. But really, my machshava is enough. The shlichus is unnecessary. The one case you need shlichus is if the shliach doesn't do 1/50th, if the shliach does 1/40th, or 1/60th, he does something different than what a stamba bias's thought is, he doesn't have the right to do that. Unless I point him as a shliach, he's not able to do that. That's the one case he says. Again, it's a very strange okimta of the Gemara. I don't know why it's limited to that, but he says it's the one okimta is, if the shliach does less than what I wanted him to do, or more than I wanted him to do, that won't be a good shuma unless I pointed him a shliach. So if I point him a shliach, and then he changes what I wanted him to do, he's allowed to as a shliach. But if he's not a shliach, then he has no right to do it. So the only example, according to the Machna, that you need shlichus for truma is if he's changing the amount that I would want him to do, which is a big chiddush.
That
makes
sense.
It's not that you need the shliach, it's that only if
he did the
shliach.
Exactly. That's the point. You don't need shlichus. According to the Machna, you don't need shlichus. But according to the Rambam, where you need a ma'isa of Rasha, you vada need shlichus for all truma. And according to Rashi, which you need to visualize the object changing, vada you need shlichus, which is much easier than what the Sefer Machna is saying.
And did less, that means you are now not honoring the total.
Excellent question, very good. So the point is, the way they have to explain that, it's a great question, Rob, is that If I told him to do A and he did B, then it wouldn't work. He's doing the wrong thing. But let's say I gave him stam. I just said, go do tshuma for me. So the typical understanding of what tshuma is 1/50. So if he changed it to 1/40 or 1/60, it's not, I didn't tell him to do otherwise. I just gave him a regular shliach. So that, once it's appointed to be my shliach, he has some right as my representative to wiggle around the amounts. But you're right, if I told him to do A and he did B, the shlichus would be severed and it wouldn't work.
What about, and you would have to do it then. Your obligation is
correct,
still there.
Correct.
What about, maybe you don't need shlichus, but maybe you might forget. So in the beginning of the year or something, you tell shliach, this is on you. So because I'm going to...
Yeah,
you
just,
know,
yeah.
And then the shliach just is on top of it.
For
not
sure.
That you need shlichus,
sure.
It's just a way to sort of
prevent yourself. For sure.
Or just make sure that
So you're saying shlichus works, it's not necessary.
Right.
It works. So certainly everyone would agree it works, but it's not needed. And the reason why one might want to tap into shlichus is just to protect the person in case he forgets to do truma later on. You'll be my shliach, and if I'm overseas and I need to eat, so you'll do the truma for me. Let's just finish with one last point here. This was not in the Marmar Kolmos, but just another example that came up in our discussion about Los Achmod, another area we find the relevance of Machshava. Los Achmod being the last of the Aseret HaDibros. So there's a machlokas, a very famous machlokas in Hilchos Gzeil of the Rambam, between the Rambam and the Ravid. So the Rambam is talking about a case of a person who's chomed, who wants another person's eved, or another person's house, or kalev, or his personal belongings, anything else. And he really wants to buy that house from him, and he starts to pressure him a lot. The hifzir bo, he pressures him until the guy sells the house to him, or the car. Now, even though he paid him a lot of money for this, he bought the house, he spent $2 million for the house, he still violated over below, say, of lo sachmon. Fascinating. You pressure a guy to sell something, even though he's willing, he said, wrote on me, I'm willing to sell it, that pressure of against his will, that's a violation of lo sachmon. Then the Rambam writes, Vein lokan alavze, but you don't get malchus on Los Achmod. Anybody know why there's no malchus on Los Achmod? Right, exactly. Lav ze mipnei shein b'maisa. We have a klal throughout Shas. Alav shein b'maisa ain lokan alav. If there's no maisa with alav, you don't get malchus. So this is a machshava alone. Los Achmod is the machshava. Vein over b'lavze ad sheika chachevet shechamad. Now then the Rambam.
But there's a maisa. I was just thinking the same thing.
Well, very good. Excellent, guys. So look, he said, next line, he said, and you don't get the Aveira until you've done the maisa.
So he did.
What do you mean? So he says there's no malchus because ain't but maisa. But then he says, you don't get the Aveira until you've done the maisa until you bought it. So what's going on here?
Right.
So the Ravid says, Amar Avram, lo ra'isi davar tama godol mizeh. I've never seen a greater question than this. Heichan maisa godol.
There can't be any asra.
But that's not what they said. They don't give the answer of Hasra. They answer it because there's no Maisa.
That could be,
okay.
So Maisa is not the Avera. You're getting the Avera for manifesting your emotion of jealousy and the guy, but I'm saying you can't get Malchus
because you're right on
that Maisa.
It's not a Maisa. Maisa wasn't the Avera. Is the
right, so you said the first line you said was correct, but tell you what.
It's not a Maisa Avera. Avera is
exactly. So this is what the briskers explain. According to the Rambam, the Avera is the Machshava. Now, we said before, certain thoughts come through the head. It's a beautiful house. I want that house. But that's not an Israel Sachma to want someone's house. You know what's an Israel Sachma? Once you start to act on that, show how bad the Machshava got to the point where you're willing to go out and buy it and pressure the guy, and once you've actually bought it, that indicates that's a shear. That mice is a shear, a measure of how great the machshava was.
Okay.
So says the Rambam, so since it's really an iser machshava, it's a lav shein b'maisa ain lokan alav. That's the point. The maisa, it's not the mice that get the avera. Buying a house isn't an avera. But the fact that I went ahead and bought it indicates how bad my lo sach, how bad the chemda was, and the iser is on that powerful chemda. That's the iser according to the Rambam. We see just another example how powerful machshav is, that it's accompanied in that, and we've been talking about dibur, the machshava translates to dibur. This is an example where machshava translates into maisa. Okay, we'll stop here. Mitzvah Hashem, next week we're going to discuss the third source of shlichus, which is a carbon pesach, and the question being of, when I have a carbon, do I need to be memaneh, a shliach, to do my shchita for me or not?